Today on The Grave Talks, The Ghost Rider House, a conversation with Brian Bateman. When Brian Bateman and his wife moved into a 1914 Craftsman in Fort Worth, Texas, they thought they'd found the perfect place to start their empty nest chapter. Instead, they found themselves in a home with a history as dark as it was hidden. From 1914 to 2023, five people have died within its walls, and the street itself has seen more than its share of tragedy. At first, Brian tried to shrug off the odd occurrences, but as the strange activity grew harder to ignore, it became clear that something in the house wasn't ready to let go. His unsettling experiences would inspire the fictionalized novel Ghost Rider by Jennifer Brazington Crowley, a story rooted in the real hauntings and the neighborhood's dark history. In this episode, Brian shares what really happened behind closed doors and why in this house, the dead don't leave. Brian, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to talk with you about this very haunted house that you unknowingly bought. Or yeah, I guess you knew you were buying a house. That was a stupid way to say that. But you didn't know you were buying a haunted house, let's say that.
Unknowingly buying a haunted house,
yes.
Correct.
There's a big difference.
So I'm going to give you a little quick backstory on me because it relates to this whole thing and it's very important part of the story. So I'm going to jump back to when I was a stay-at-home dad. We had three kids. So when my kids were young, my wife's career took off. Mine wasn't really going anywhere. So my salary was paying for childcare and it was great to be able to stay home with the kids. But I also kind of missed working and interacting with adults. and especially there weren't a whole lot of stay-at-home dads back when I was a stay-at-home dad either. Like, we were kind of a rarity. I think it's a little bit more now. So I wanted to find something to do other than be a stay-at-home dad that I could just have something for me. I ended up getting a writing job for a guy named Gary Burbank, who was on 700 WLW radio in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I wrote for him for several years. I loved it because I could write whenever I wanted to. It was a perfect job to make some extra money while I was at home with the kids. But he retired in 2007. And so I lost the writing job. And that year, I got a four-leaf clover tattoo on my wrist. Partly because I felt at that time in my life, I needed some luck to maybe get another writing job like the one I had because it was perfect for my scenario. But also to remind me that, hey, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I don't have to go to a 9-to-5 every day and, whatever. So, I'm also lucky to be in the spot that I'm in too. And I appreciated that. But I missed the writing so much. There was like a creative hole in my heart that was just ripped out. And I used to be a musician as well. So I've always had like an outlet for my creativity, but that was just taken away in 2007. It was just gone. So I was really bummed. Well, fast forward to moving to this house in 2024, we moved in February 4th, 2024. My dog started acting a little weird when we moved in. He wouldn't sleep in our bedroom. So basically I started getting involved in researching the house because I was like, okay, there's some weird things going on here. Who lived here? I just became kind of obsessed with, finding out what was going on with who had lived here, who had died here, whatever, that's when I came across Harold Monroe. Harold Monroe was actually a former writer for the Fall River News in Massachusetts. He actually witnessed Lizzie Borden as an older lady being taunted by children doing the Lizzie Borden chant at her when he lived in Fall River. That was his first writing job, actually. Also, he worked for the New York Times, and he ended up working for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. That's how he came to Fort Worth. But he passed away on March 17th, 1977. That's St. Patrick's Day.
That kind of ties into your tattoo.
Absolutely. So when I found out a former writer passed away in my home on St. Patrick's Day, and I was a former writer who had a four-leaf clover tattoo after the guy I wrote for retired in 2007, I felt this instant connection to this guy. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of strange. And it's a coincidence, after this moving into this house, I no longer believe in coincidences, by the way. So yeah, that was the first thing that really got me into like, okay, let's start researching the house. And that's when I found out that a total of 5 people have passed away here from 1914 to 2023.
Do you know when the house was built? How old it is?
1911. It's a 1911 Craftsman style bungalow.
Which I love that. Craftsman bungalow. Those are awesome really houses.
Cool, very cool little house. Yeah, it's 1,600 square feet, but it's just enough for 2 of us. You know, it's a perfect size. And like I said, we've always wanted a historic home. And we're actually in the largest historic neighborhood, the historic district in the southwest of the United States.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's so many historic homes in this neighborhood from anywhere from 1890 all the way to about 1930s on average. And then around this area, there are also other historic neighborhoods, like just after a historic neighborhood after a historic neighborhood. So it's just like, it's really cool, you know, interesting place to especially walk your dogs because it's like,
oh, I bet. I'm jealous of your dog walks. So when you bought the house, you moved to Fort Worth. You were living someplace else, correct? And so you were kind of drawn to this house, but I'm going to guess because I do love the architecture of that Craftsman style, and there's so many cool details inside of them. Like a lot of them have cool woodwork or just different nooks and crannies and stuff. And they're, so they have a lot of character.
Yes.
So when you went in the house the first time, is that kind of what drew you to the house, was more of that? Because I felt like that with my house. When I walked in this house, the first day I took 5-6 steps in and I knew 100% I would live
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Yes. So my wife and I were looking at 2 houses. We're looking at this one and then another house a couple streets over. When I walked into this house, I told my wife pretty much immediately, I can see myself living here. I knew, like, I felt like, yeah, this is it. This is the house. So when it came down to this house and the other house and we started going back and forth, I'm like, I don't want that other house. I want this one, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like not even a choice for me. It was just like, I knew this was my house. And, you know, that's, again, I almost think that I was kind of drawn or called here for some reason. And the reason we think is because it has to do with Harold, basically. I'll get into that whole thing. We've had some mediums chime in on what they think's going on, but I 100% believe that I was brought to this house to basically help Harold in some way and then have him help me in some way.
That's interesting.
Yes, because now I have a passion again. That creative hole that was, you know, taken away is now back, and I am completely back to the way I used to be when I wrote comedy, where I just live and this is my life now. It's just like, you know, not only the book that ended out, you know, up out of all of this.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about the book.
Right. Yeah. It's just like this whole home has completely changed my life.
I'm going to guess that there was a reason you started diving into the history of the house. Like for me, I never have. My house was built in 1940. So I'm going to guess it has some pretty interesting history. But I've never, and for me, honestly, it might be, I don't want to know certain things. I don't know. But did some things happen in the house that got you interested? Like, was there some activity that you were like, what's going on? Is there something behind this? What got you interested in exploring the history?
Well, so when I found out about the Harold Monroe connection, that really got me going. I mean, I was obsessed. I was researching hours and hours and hours a day, every day for months. I'd be on vacation, I'd be researching. I'd send stuff to my kids. I'd have my daughter helping me research. I went completely crazy. My wife was so sick of me. I'm like, look what I found. You know, she's like, okay, enough. You know, like, no. You know, I just got so excited. Everything I discovered, and I still haven't even found out everything yet. That's the great thing. It's just like, it's almost like you're a detective and you're kind of trying to solve a mystery that you're probably never going to really be able to solve 100%. But there are things that you can find out if you just can't.
Exactly. You know?
So the dog not sleeping in our bedroom was the first sign that something was off here. he always had slept on this bed, his dog bed on the floor in our other homes, no problem. And when we first moved in, he started just going to the front part of the house every night. You know, we just couldn't figure out why he wouldn't sleep in our bedroom. We thought he was like afraid of something, which we still aren't quite sure if he's afraid or if he was actually looking forward to going out to the front of the house. And I'll tell you about that too. But that's the first thing that, you know, kind of happened. That was just something out of character for something. You know, we never experienced anything like that with any of our animals before in any other house. So it was definitely notable. And then a little bit after that, we had a curtain pulled back in the bathroom. Like it looked like somebody was looking out the window. And then we had a couple weeks after that, three curtains pulled back in the bathroom. You know, we did all the, when I say this stuff, just know that we do all the stuff to try to figure out if it's something that we did, you know, the debunking, as they say. But we always look for a logical, reasonable explanation first, you know, and if we can't figure it out, then I'll tell you about it. You know, I won't even tell you about the stuff that we're not even really sure about that could have been paranormal or not. If I can't say for sure, I'm not going to tell you about it, basically. So that was one, that was another one that really was like, oh, wow, that's kind of weird. So, and then after that, my wife was working in the kitchen several months later after that. It's, you know, this stuff doesn't happen like one after the other. It's right. Of course, you know, we lived here a year and a half. So it's been over the course of a year and a half. But my wife was working in the kitchen one day and we had one of those little plastic dog bowls that we take with our dog when we travel. It's a collapsible. And it was in the middle of the kitchen. And all of a sudden she heard this noise. She looks over and the bowl's wobbling. And then it spins really fast, you know, at the end when the kind of the bowls kind of spin, you know. And she called me into the kitchen pretty quick. She was very startled. And, you know, we were trying to figure out if she kicked it or if she was, but she was, far, you know, too far away to even, you know, come in contact with it. So that was another one that was like, oh boy. So I ended up reaching out to paranormal people that, you know, there is no Ghostbusters phone number that I found.
Right.
Basically, it's like, you know, I was like, okay, so how do I contact a group that takes this stuff seriously that can come out and help investigate and try to figure out if, you know, we're insane? So I found this lady. She finally, like, I reached out to all different people. I was reaching out to podcasts just see if they knew of any ghost investigators, you know, paranormal podcasts, all that kind of stuff. So long story short, Rose came out. She's from the paranormal group. Her name is Rose Valenzuela and her husband, Joe. They ended up coming out to investigate twice. But the first day that they were there, it was Rose and Julie. She's on a hot podcast here in DFW called Haunted AF.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Julie from Haunted AF came out and it was her and Rose and they go to the front part of the house and they both stood in this spot in the, it's our TV room. It's like a little separate room off of the family room. And it used to be all one big room, but when the guy renovated the house, he put a wall there. So now it's like a little separate room, which is great because it's like, you know, it's TV, close the door off in there and stuff. It's a nice little room, but they felt this weird energy in that room. Like right off the bat. And it was pretty interesting because I was like, I thought nothing of it. I'm just like, oh, but we do know of two deaths in the front of the house in the family room. The first death was in the family room was Harold Monroe. That's the guy, you know, that inspired the book. He died again, March 17, 1977. And then his wife, Martha, ended up passing away in 2009. And she died on October 31st, 2009. I started, reaching out to, I friended their son on Facebook. He's still alive. He's like 70 years old. And when I had the dog behavior, you know, I just flat out asked the guy, I'm like, is this house haunted?
I have to ask, like, that had to have been something you really thought about before you reached out to him. Like, he's going to think I'm crazy.
He's going to think I'm crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
And, yes.
It was very hard for me to do that, but I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know what to, you know, I was just like, I wanted somebody that had lived here to like, hey, did some weird stuff happen when you, but he had like moved out of here in like the early 80s. Anyway, his response was pretty shocking. So his response was actually, he said he was fascinated with this kind of stuff, which I was surprised.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, I don't remember anything happening when I lived there. But if there were spirits in the front, he said, both of my parents passed away in the family room. And they loved dogs. They were absolute dog lovers. So my
thought that would be a really interesting conversation to have with somebody that it could possibly be your parents.
And he said it could possibly be my parents.
Wow. I'm glad he brought it up because that would have been something you'd have been thinking.
Yes.
Interesting.
You know, I have so many more questions for him that are too personal that I don't want to ask him. But I think he ended up having a bad experience with this whole house. When his mom passed away, she left it to her new boyfriend, Walt. I think the family was a little upset that the house didn't just go to them and they could sell it.
Get it.
At
yeah.
the time, you know, back yeah. in 2009. Well, from 2009 until 2023, I mean, the house was just completely falling apart. It was deteriorating. It was, you know, cracks everywhere. The foundation was collapsing. It was bad. So I think they were kind of upset, you know, that he was able to live here rent free as the house is going into disrepair, because they knew that the longer he lived here, I think the less the house value was going to be for them to sell mm-hmm. it. So I don't think he really wants anything to do with this house anymore. He kind of washes hands of this whole thing. So he doesn't really respond to me anymore. I invited him over to tell him about the Civil War history I found out about the house, but he didn't respond. So I'm just going to leave it alone and just let him, yeah. you know. He wants to reach out, cool. But you know, if not, that's fine too. But yeah, it was kind of interesting that he did verify his parents both died in the family room, and then they were dog lovers. And my dog goes to the family room when he's every night, and he slept in that front part of the room. So, like, we think it wasn't that he was scared to sleep in our room; it was that he was looking forward to going to see the Monroes.
It's interesting how dogs are, because number one, when it comes to paranormal activity, I always look at the pets. And if my pet is reacting to something, I'm like, oh, okay, there might be something happening right now. It's not just in my head. Mm-hmm. If they're sound asleep and they're not reacting at all, I'm like, okay, maybe I just dreamed something. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of, I just think they pick up on things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had always heard that, and I always believed it, because they definitely are, they sense things that we don't, you know, once you experience that. And it's so, when it happens, it's so obvious that it happens, because it doesn't happen every day. So when their behavior is like that, it's so out of character for the mm-hmm. behavior that you're like, okay, there's something weird going on right now. So yeah. I definitely pay attention to that. My other dog, Molly, has had a couple of experiences too. Since we're talking about the TV room, I will tell you a couple months ago. So my wife travels for a living, so I'm home a lot too. You said you're home, and I'm home a lot too. So anytime I experience anything, I always call my wife instantly and said, you won't believe just what just happened. She's had stuff happen too. So she believes me. So it's nice to actually be able to talk to somebody that believes everything that you're telling her, because she's experienced stuff too. So, you know, that's why when the paranormal group came in and investigated and they found stuff too, and the medium kind of found stuff too, it was like, it was so nice to actually have other people that, you know, kind of backed you up on what you were saying, right. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But anyway, so I'm in the corner of the couch working, and I'm on my phone. My dog's Molly is on the other side of the couch with her head over the side a little bit. She starts barking like a really little weird, like a roof. It was just like a weird bark. And she jumps off the couch and then goes out to the family room and won't come back into the TV room. So I instantly grab my camera, my phone, and start recording. And because it was very unusual, I've never had that happen since she's lived here. So I'm calling her back into the room. I'm like, Molly, come on, come on, you know, come. And I posted this on Instagram and TikTok. It's, the video's up there. And she would not come in the room no matter what I would do. And she kept looking up. It was weird. She'd look up to the ceiling. And then she just took off and went back to the dining room and didn't come in. So a few hours later, she finally did come back in. I was back in there in the corner. And all of a sudden, it was quiet. And we both heard somebody whisper, hi. Mm. It was like, hi. Like very clear, like crystal clear. She looked and I looked at the same time. I'm glad she looked, because if she didn't look, then I would have been like, oh, okay, I just heard a voice. And she didn't hear it, so am I crazy?
But exactly.
She looked at the exact same place that she had barked at earlier. That's where I heard it coming from. That actually is the same spot that Rose and Julie felt the energy in the room when they first came out to the house last October. So I don't know. So I don't know if Harold passed away in that room. I don't know if it's him in that room. I don't know if it could be Martha in that room. I don't know if it could be somebody else in that room. But yeah. And then the investigators actually on both, they've investigated twice. And on both investigations, they caught somebody whispering, "Hey," in my bedroom. So we don't know if that's like a residual thing because it was caught both investigations in the same spot. But yeah, that definitely was, and you can hear it. It's crystal clear. There was nobody in the bedroom when they were recording it. So, like I said, when I get the stuff from the paranormal investigators, I'll post it up on the TikTok and the Instagram and all that stuff too, for people to take a look at, because there's some pretty cool stuff and interesting stuff that they've definitely caught. And so the whispers, the dog bowl, the curtains, and then one night I told you my dog doesn't sleep in my bedroom on the floor. He has to now sleep in our bed. We keep him in the bed because that's the only way we can keep him in the bedroom. One night, my wife's out of town. He's in bed. My other dog, Molly's in her cage in the bedroom. And I'm walking in the kitchen and I'm turning on the porch light to go to bed. And I turn around and start walking back to bed. And I hear the nails of a dog on the wood floor behind me. So I was like, oh, I turn around really quick. There's nothing there. And I just was super confused because I'm like, okay, wait, my dog's is in bed, right? Did he jump down? But I would have seen him jump down. I would have heard him. I would have, so it didn't make any sense. So I kind of like got a little nervous that he like fell off the bed or something. So I went to the bedroom and sure enough, he's in bed, sound asleep. My other dog's sound asleep. And I got on the phone with my wife and I said, I just heard a dog behind me. And the medium, interestingly enough, said that we had several animal spirits in this home, cats, dogs, but she specifically mentioned a German shepherd.
That's really interesting because maybe that also is what your dog was drawn to in that one room.
Or the dog bowl spinning in the
kitchen. Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff we're still trying to like figure out, you know what I mean? So, and then supposedly we also have a residual haunting in the house of somebody named Viola. Viola actually was one of the original people to live in this home. Viola actually, unfortunately, suffered from colon cancer. She ended up passing away at the age of 39. Uh-huh. Not in the home. She actually went to Indiana to see her sister and then passed away 2 weeks after she got there. She's buried in a town called Anderson, Indiana. And interestingly enough, I used to go to Anderson, Indiana as a kid to visit my aunt and uncle and my cousins. They all grew up in Anderson, Indiana.
What the heck?
Yeah.
It was you weird. And these odd connections.
Yeah. And that's like such a small, weird, like town and random town in Indiana. It's just like, I was absolutely floored when I found out she was actually from Anderson, Indiana. They were all from Indiana, actually. So the first people to move into this home, it was a guy named Alicia Morford. That was Viola's great uncle. He had no family. His wife had passed. All his kids had passed. He was 77, probably like 75 when he moved in, 74 maybe. Yeah, so he came down with her and her husband. Viola actually had a daughter from a previous marriage. And so her new husband, Walter, actually adopted, her name was Mizpah, M-I-Z-P-A-H. He adopted Mizpah. And then Viola's brother, Harry Gold, and his wife came down. So Harry and William got a job at the Frisco Yards, which is right across the street from me. So the railroad is switchman. And then Great Uncle Lesh was just probably just hanging around. He's older, poor guy and retired. So Viola, yeah, the whole connection with the Indiana thing is definitely interesting. And now that I mentioned Alicia, I'll tell you, he's the first death in the house, actually. We pretty much think that he passed away either in our bedroom or our bathroom. Our bathroom used to be what was called a sleeping porch, and it used to be a bedroom. So it's just a room full of, it's like a little back porch kind of room with a bunch of windows.
Yeah, and they could open him and sleep there when it gets too hot.
When it got too hot, yeah. Although in Texas, when it's like 105 out, and it's like 95 degrees at 10 o'clock at night, it's not really much of a breeze, but I guess it's better than nothing, right?
I think it's interesting that you've discovered how many people have died in this house and all the information that you haven't covered.
This gets crazy. So Alicia, I found out, was a former Civil War soldier. He actually served for the Indiana 68th Regiment. He was in the infantry, I think, Company C, I believe. He actually saw a lot of action in the Civil War. He was captured at the Battle of Mumfordsville. And then he was released and, you know, they let him back into the battle, I guess. And he ended up at the Battle of Chickamauga, which was the second bloodiest battle in the Civil War. A bunch of other battles. So yeah, it was kind of, you know, interesting that a Union soldier ended up passing away in Fort Worth, Texas in 1914, mm-hmm. you know, because this definitely was Confederate, you know, territory. So the next death that I found out about in the house, probably in the same room, either our bedroom or the sleeping porch, based on the research we'd done, her name was Anna Lubbock Kennedy. Anna Lubbock Kennedy's father was named Thomas Saltis Lubbock. And I'm sure you've heard of Lubbock, Texas.
Right. That's the first thing I thought of when you said that name.
Her father is that Lubbock, Texas is named after her father. So she passed away December 26th, 1919 in the house. And her father was a big figure in the battle for the Republic of Texas, for Texas independence from Mexico. And after that was done, Texas was a republic. Later on, I guess he was involved with a fighting a force called Terry's Texas Rangers. They were like a little fighting regiment, but they were really well known in Texas during the Battle for Independence. So they had a really good reputation. Thomas and I think it was Colonel Terry. It's called Terry's Texas Rangers after Colonel Terry, but Thomas Lubbock was also involved with the unit. So Terry's Texas Rangers actually fought in the Civil War, Militia Morford's unit, at the Battle of Chickamauga.
Oh.
So her dad basically fought, you know, at Militia Morford in the Battle of Chickamauga. And then they both died in my bedroom.
Which is really strange.
It's very strange. And yeah.
I mean, why you no longer believe in coincidence.
Yes. You know, it was pretty wild to think about, you know, so it's just like, wow. And I'm sure like she had no idea that he had passed away, like, you know, a former Union soldier. Actually, interestingly enough, on the death certificate for Alicia, they spell his last name wrong. And they actually said he was married and something else. It's completely wrong. And I don't know why it's wrong. I don't know if they just didn't have the information and were lazy and just falsified it. Or they said that he was an Irish. They said he was an Irish immigrant. He wasn't an Irish immigrant. So I don't know. I think maybe they were afraid to tell maybe the people that he's a former Union soldier.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. So like, and you talk about when you look up history and things, a lot of times things are misspelled. A lot of times the information is not 100% accurate. So it throws you for a curve sometimes. So, you know, I had to find the correct spelling of this guy's name. I thought it was a girl first. I thought Alicia was a woman, but it was a man. And here's another coincidence. So Alicia was born in Claremont County, Ohio. Well, I was born in Ohio, and my father actually used to teach in Claremont County, in Claremont County School District. I actually lived across the bridge from Claremont County in Hamilton County in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, when I found out that we had the connection from Anderson, Indiana, and then Claremont County, Ohio.
Right. And it's not like it's close. It'd be different if it was you lived in Fort Worth your whole life, and geographically, these things happen close by, but that's a long ways.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, it's weird. And I also found another connection to the town of Springfield, Ohio, from a guy that lived here. My father was born in Springfield, Ohio, and my grandparents lived there like most of their adult life. So yeah, it's a lot of Ohio, Indiana connections to this house for some reason. It's really interesting. And that's, again, I'm from the Midwest. So, you know, we moved down to Texas in 2010. So we've been here 15 years, but, you know, lived in Ohio for most of my life, actually. So, yeah, it was just kind of interesting to see the Ohio and Indiana connections and all that kind of stuff.
Have you lived in this house the entire 15 years you've been there? Is this the house that you moved to when you moved in?
No. Okay. No. So we moved to a town called Frisco, Texas, when we first came to Texas. Frisco is a suburb of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then actually we ended up moving to Galveston, Texas for a year after my kids were all out of the house. But then my wife got a job in Florida. So we ended up moving to Florida for a year. Then we missed our kids and she hated the job. So we ended up back in Frisco, rented an apartment while we were trying to figure out where we were going to live in the DFW area. We had always loved Fort Worth. And we're like, you know, we can live basically anywhere around DFW area and not be too far from our kids. So let's go, you know, let's look in Fort Worth. And again, that's how we ended up here. But I moved in this house. Yeah. February 4th, 2024 is when we were officially in this home. The room I'm talking to you in right now actually was the last death that we found out about in this home, which happened on February 3rd, 2023. So we actually moved in almost a year to the date when Walt passed away in this room. So, and then in this room, I will tell you, we've had some activity with TVs turning on and off by themselves. We haven't actually investigated this room for some reason. I don't know why, but for next investigation, we're going to definitely focus more on this room. And then the room where I heard somebody whispering hi. Usually I hide my pets in that room when the investigators are here. So this time I'm going to put them somewhere else and they're going to be able to investigate that room. So I'm looking forward to actually investigating this room and that room. Of course, the whole house, but it's, you know, I want to see if they find anything in these rooms specifically, because I don't think they've ever really found anything in those rooms before. So, yeah.
So this whole time, you know, you've been experiencing paranormal activity in the house. Yet talking to you, I don't feel like this is anything that you find threatening or really terrifying.
At all.
It's more like you find it fascinating is how I'm feeling.
Sometimes it can be a little unsettling.
Yeah.
Word I would use. Because like the dog thing, it got the hair on my arm sticking up and, you know, it kind of took my breath away. Honestly, I was like, I couldn't believe it, you know, because I was like, I literally heard this dog. I heard it.
Have you lived in a place prior to this that had paranormal activity? Is this your first experience with it?
I had a couple weird experiences when I was living in Cincinnati at my parents' home, but you know, so I don't know if the medium thinks that for some reason she thinks I'm kind of like a draw for these people.
I can see that.
I don't know. I guess they call it like, is it empath or where you're, you know, you always worry about other people's feelings before yours.
Yeah, you're very sensitive and in tune to feelings and emotions. And you can.
I definitely am. And I've always been that way. So I don't know. The medium told me she flat out thinks that I'm part of the reason that all this stuff's happening. I don't know. I don't like to talk about myself too much. So I don't know if I have that kind of draw or whatever. But so when I was a teenager, I used to be a drummer. So I was down in the basement one day and there's a thing called a drum key that you use to tighten your drums with throughout the little lugs to tune your drums up. And I'm just standing down there in the basement one day and all of a sudden I hear this clinging or bang, like a clang kind of sound. And it was the metal pole in the basement, you know, the support pole, and the drum key, it like flew and hit the pole and bounced off the pole. that was like, of course I remembered that, you know, forever, because it was like, it was wild. And then I had something else happen, which I'm not going to talk about it. It's kind of embarrassing. So it has to do with fish food and being all over the place. But yeah, that was another thing that happened. But two things were that memorable that happened in that house, but that was it. Like that was it. You know what I mean? So other than that, I haven't really had anything. Now, my wife and I've had experiences at places we've gone before. Like we went to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. We heard some footsteps above us.
Not surprising.
Yeah, that was crazy. That place is super, super haunted. but it's so beautiful. See, that's the thing. We love all these old hotels because we love the history and how pretty they are. But they usually always come with ghost stories and ghosts. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
When we were at the Stanley, we did experience some footsteps that we heard we were on the fourth floor and my daughter was with us. And the fourth floor is actually the top floor. It's where the nannies and all the staff used to live. And there's nothing above the fourth floor. It's just like this pipes and stuff in the ceiling. I remember the guy saying on the tour that actually people do hear footsteps above them on the fourth floor. And we literally heard footsteps above us on the fourth floor. And my daughter was so freaked out. It was just, oh my gosh. Anyway, but so, you know, we've experienced a few things, you know, going places, but, you know, few and far between. You know, it's not like everywhere we go, something happens, you know, but again, when you live in a house that this stuff happens in, it's just like, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's different when it's your house.
It is definitely different when it's your house. So, but yeah, as far as like feeling threatened, feeling No, not at all. Actually, we feel that they're kind of playful. And luckily, the people that we've talked to kind of, it's funny you picked up on that because they all agree like there's nothing really here that's threatening, that's gonna, hurt us. Or now, I will tell you that the medium did say we have what's known as an elemental spirit
Oh,
also
that's
in there.
interesting.
Yeah. So apparently in the family room, there's an elemental spirit, which is a spirit of the land, I guess. I didn't even know what that was. And again, when she said that this is the first time that she was here, and I was like, yeah, I was rolling my eyes and, like, no way, whatever. Yeah, I'm sure. So what made me believe in the medium? So the second investigation, we are back in our bathroom, and the medium, Georgia, starts talking about the name Doreen, Dorene. And she said, I keep seeing the name Doreen and I keep feeling like sick, and this is really bad. And she's very sick, and she's got heart problems and blah, blah, blah. And so my wife and I actually did know that after Martha passed away, Walt brought another lady into the house, probably 2018, 2019, somewhere around there. We know that all this from my next door neighbor because he helped care for Walt and for her. But she actually was living in our bathroom. She was terminal at cancer, wasn't treating it. She just decided that she wasn't going to fight it and just die. And so she suffered pretty badly back there in the back room. And so when she was saying the name Doreen and the heart problems and sick and everything, and we're like, okay, we remember we were told that there was a lady that lived back here. So my wife contacted Jordan, our neighbor Jordan, and he's like, oh, you're talking about Doleen?
Wow, that is so close to Doreen.
I was like, wait, what did you say? He's like, oh yeah,
Yeah.
her name is Doleen. I'm like, did she have heart problems? And he's like, I don't think she had heart problems. He's like, but she did have cancer. She was horribly sick. So later that day, his wife actually texted back and was like, that, come to think of it, actually, Doleen did have one or two open heart surgeries that we know of. And then a couple days ago, I'm telling you, I always learn new things about this house and people who lived here. A couple days ago, I learned also that Walt had triple bypass surgery in 2011. So he actually also had heart issues. So I'm wondering, like, was she also picking up on his issues when she was picking up on her sickness? I don't know. So I'm looking forward to her coming back now because, like, now everything she says, I'm like, okay. I believe
Well,
you
and
now.
depending on her cancer, it could have presented as heart issues too,
Yeah.
from her perspective as a
Right.
medium,
Yeah.
some of the feelings like chest and pressure, like some of the things she might pick up on.
Yeah. And the thing too with these people that come to my home, they don't charge me money. I don't charge them money. Like, we are doing this for the sheer fascination of trying to figure out what's going on here. So when Georgia comes, like, she's not like, hey, I'll tell you, who's here, but you got to pay me $35. It's none of that. It's she just comes here because she wants to help figure out what's going on and see if there's anything here that might be threatening. She, again, the only thing she said that she might be a little concerned about was the elemental. Again, we haven't had anything really bad happen. I've also had a medium say that the elemental is a good thing to have here because they're protecting you from what's bad out there. And when I tell you about the true crimes on my street, it will probably make maybe a little more sense that that theory might hold some water. doing these podcasts and things, I've also talked to other mediums who will start picking up on stuff when I'm talking to them, that they'll add little things here and there that I find interesting. I can tell you about there was a kid in 1914 named Ray Roberts. Ray actually went with his buddies, two buddies, and they decided to go hunting at their family farm, and they were cutting through the railroad yard right across the street from me. Well, Ray hopped on boxcar and his rifle accidentally, his gun accidentally went off and shot him in the head.
Oh, no.
He fell down from the boxcar. He was still alive, but his two friends ran to my home. I don't know why they ran to my house, but they ran to my house to call the ambulance for him. But he had passed away, I think, 30 minutes after the ambulance arrived or something like that. Ray's parents lived on the street over next from mine. And the really interesting thing is the medium, I've had a couple of different mediums weigh in on a spirit that they said is in the bathroom that looks out the window. They said it's a teenage male. And the first investigation when Rose and Joe were here, they were using the little ovulus or whatever that says words. It said the name Roberts. And Rose said Roberts, you know, like plural. But then she said Roberts. She thought it was just Robert. So, you know, I really want to kind of now try to focus on, could that possibly be Ray Roberts that's haunting the bathroom for some reason?
Have you had any activity in the bathroom that you've picked up on?
Yeah. So the curtains being pulled back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely one of them. And then we've also caught a noise, like a banging sound of the second investigation, and a little small light shoots out of the bathroom door right when the banging sound happens. And then do you ever see those cat balls that people use? Mm-hmm. So the investigators brought those over the first time they investigated. I had no idea what they were. I was just like, what is this? You know,
you brought toys.
Yeah. So they had these little ball things all over the place, and they're all going off. And I was like, what? I didn't know what it was at the time. But they accidentally left one after their first investigation. And like a few weeks after that, like I'm just walking by and I see this little thing, this little ball lighting up. And I was like, oh, wait, what? So I started like asking Rose, I'm like, hey, this ball thing just went off. Like now I buy them now because like that's like as much as I'll do for investigating is I have these little cat balls everywhere. But I've actually had intelligent responses with these cat balls every now and then, which is pretty wild. And in the bathroom a couple of weeks ago, I had one of those in there. My wife was getting ready to take a shower and it started going off and she was not too happy with me. She's like, you need to get this thing out of the bathroom right now. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't think it would go off because it had never gone off in the bathroom before. Yeah, that was interesting. So when she goes out of town, I'll throw it back in the bathroom. But yeah, those things go all over the house periodically. I have found that my dog's bark, believe it or not, will set it off. So I've found a little few things where I've experimented with them to try to get them to false trigger and stuff. But overall, there's some validity to these things and being able to communicate. Because like I said, I've actually said the name Martha a couple times and the ball will go off after I say the name Martha. Oh, like I'll go through the list of the names of people that passed here. And then when I get to Martha, it goes off. We definitely think Martha is here. We actually think Martha is the one in the kitchen. We call her the kitchen witch because Martha died on Halloween 2009 in the family room. She apparently loved Halloween. Halloween in our neighborhood is like a religion. They close down the streets. People come from all over to trick or treat in our neighborhood. Because they go all out with the decorations and you just see the couple streets over there, a bunch of these old mansions from the 1920s and like their decorations are like insane. Like they look so amazing. So it's like a lot of fun for Halloween around here. So we do love that, but it's also interesting too, that every Halloween now we have the celebration of Martha's passing in our family room too. You know, good for her. If she loved Halloween that much and she passed away on Halloween, she probably got a kick out.
Perfect.
Right? So apparently Martha lived here from 1957 until her death in 2009. And apparently the medium told us that there was an older lady in the kitchen who doesn't like us in her space. So that's how we figured out it was probably Martha because she had lived here the longest. And if anyone wouldn't want you in her space in the kitchen, it probably would have been her. And then in conjunction with getting, you know, the intelligent responses from the cat balls, when I mentioned the name Martha, that's been interesting. But here's another crazy coincidence. So there, Rose and my wife and Georgia are in our bedroom and Joe, the other investigator, is in the kitchen, the REM pod. And he's got this thing on the floor that if you step over it, it stops where the motion's detected. I'm in the TV room watching the animals, trying to keep them from running around and messing everything up. So, but the ovulus thing that they had all of a sudden said, the witch is here. After it said the witch is here, the kitchen stuff is going on. The REM pod's going off. The thing on the floor is stopping. Joe's in there just like amazed of the activity in the kitchen. And Rose and Georgia didn't know that we called her the kitchen witch. it just was one of those things when it said the witch is here, and then with the, you know, stuff going on in the kitchen as it says the witch is here, to us was Martha acknowledging the fact that she knows we call her the kitchen witch. And she was kind of like, yep, I know what you call me, and I'm here, and this is what I can do. But it was in a playful manner and a kind of like a joking manner, not a, it didn't feel threatening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, please know that kitchen witch is a term of endearment.
Yes. We call her that as a term of endearment.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not like, it's again, the Halloween thing. She died on Halloween. And if she doesn't like us in her space, okay, that's a little witchy. It's a little, you know, whatever. But so anytime we cook, a lot of, not every time, but we'll go in the kitchen and be like, all right, we're getting ready to make dinner. You know, hope you don't get mad. You know,
yeah. We're just, please give us a little room.
Yeah. So. So I talked to the kitchen witch in the kitchen now, which is, again, somewhere in my life I never thought I'd be.
But there you are.
Talking to things that supposedly are here, but I can't see them. But yeah, it's almost like they're part of the family now. I say good morning to Walt in this room. You know, when I come in, I'm morning, Walt. We feel like we are coexisting very well in the home, for sure.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Brian Bateman about his home, the Ghost Rider House. Follow them on TikTok and Instagram at Ghost Rider House. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.